Welcome to Season 2 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen's Podcast. Every day, the California Cattlemen's Association is sorting through the issues impacting California's ranching families and producers. To communicate those issues, discuss solutions, and keep ranchers current on the hot topics, CCA leadership developed this podcast. Well, welcome back to another episode of Sorting Pen. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and we're looking forward to seeing you at convention, hopefully in just a few short days. We're wrapping up our season two of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen podcast. We have just a few episodes left, and then we'll be on to season three. We thought it would be fitting to sit down with CCA President Tony Toso, as the podcast was one of his visions during his presidency and before. And as we go into convention, he'll be wrapping up his time as president. So we wanted to hear from him one last time on the podcast. So I'm camped out at his office yet again.
Once again, here we are.
So thanks, Tony. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Thank you. And thanks for coming down.
As I mentioned, the podcast was something that you had kind of as a vision for CCA. We were just joking about kind of the beginning of it and people requesting it.
Yes.
And we had already actually recorded the episode, so that was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Kind of just right for the timing.
Doing the podcast has been something I've enjoyed. I think we've gotten to reach new people with what CCA is doing, and it's been a lot of fun to sit down and chat with people. But we were also talking about how fast 2022 has gone and just the whole year and 2 years as you've been president. What's it been like for you?
About as fast as what you just described. It's been a great time. I've really enjoyed getting out, seeing everybody, but this did go very, very fast, and it's been enjoyable. I think we got some great work done. This podcast series being one of those, and the stories from Cattle Country too as well. I'm just incredibly proud of the efforts that you guys have put into this, along with all the other work that we've done with markets, with fire, with all the issues that continue to plague us as ranchers throughout California. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's time to move on. And I think we've got a great guy coming in as our next president, and Steve Arnold. So I'm excited to pass the gavel and see what Steve gets done.
Yeah, I'll be excited to work with Steve a little bit more in the next 2 years. We think back on the last 2 years, you came in right at the end of 2020. So COVID was, COVID was COVID.
Virtual president.
Virtual president. We were joking about you being.
Yes, yes.
You had the Marathon live cattle marketing meeting. We had the experience in Houston with live cattle marketing meeting. Passed, I think, 4 CCA-sponsored bills since you've been president. And you went to a lot of local tour meetings in the interim of all of that, among many other things, the CCA building selling. What about maybe being CCA president, if there was anywhere you went or any experience of it, maybe getting to see more of California or how other local associations do it? Is there anything that really surprised you?
Well, I don't know if there's anything that surprised me, but I enjoyed some great food out on the road. that was a lot of fun for one, and getting to see everybody, seeing old friends, making new friends, and just getting out and hearing what was concerning people. That was pretty rewarding. I'll miss that. It'll be nice to not be on the road as much, but at the same time, it's pretty fun to see all the great people in this industry and to get out and visit with them and share a meal and do that kind of thing and hear what's concerning them. You know, that's what we're here for. And that's what we're trying to do, is to make things a little bit better, little by little. It's a big, heavy lift on some of the issues that we have, but you get out there and you learn a little bit from people, and you can kind of formulate plans and ideas and take it from there and sit down with your officers and your staff and figure out how we can help make things a little bit better.
It is interesting. You expect to go up somewhere, go anywhere in the state and think, oh, this will be the number one issue, I'll talk on this. And then sometimes you get zero questions on it.
Yeah, that's true. But it's been good. And I guess what I've come to enjoy the most about going out there is just sharing with our membership what staff and what their fellow ranchers as volunteer members have been able to do. Like you mentioned, the 4 bills that we got signed into law, the Burn Boss program, the Ag Pass or Livestock Pass program, the BIT extension and the water certification extension. Those are big deals for ranchers. And I'm incredibly proud of the effort that our fellow members and our staff put in to get those bills passed. It's not easy in this state. We're a big blue state, and the congratulations goes to the people that worked really hard on that. Very proud of the effort. So it's been kind of cool to see that all transpire and be a part of it.
Yeah, it is a cool process to see. I got to work, I think, in 2020 more kind of with Kirk and the government affairs team on some of the fire legislation, getting the word out about that. And it is kind of cool to get to see behind the scenes a little bit more what goes on. You're right. The members are a huge part of that. And every member that's supporting CCA, it wouldn't happen without them. There's no way we could get stuff through California's legislature if we didn't have the support of our members.
No, and the ability to strategize and to utilize their contacts, what Billy, what Jason, what Kirk do over there. And I know they team up with Justin now and then and to work on different things. But to watch the way they work and use their resources, and there's not a lot of us, they do a darn good job with what they have.
What parting advice? You've gotten to be on the CCA officer team with Steve now for a few years. What advice do you have for him as he goes into his presidency and he's the president-elect?
Enjoy it and listen. You know, listen to what your membership's telling you. Have fun while you're out there doing it, because it does go pretty quick, and you'll hear a lot from the members. But that's, again, like I said before, what we're here for. So listen, enjoy it. He'll be good at it. Steve, I've worked with Steve in various capacities through Farm Bureau and with Cattlemen's, and that's a sharp guy. So I'm very confident of what he can do. I think we're in great hands. The future is bright for us, and he will do a great job continuing on with what the past presidents have put forward for us. You know, Mark, Dave, and the guys that came before them. It's a great history and a great tradition, and Steve will fit right in there and do a great job.
He has been doing a great job. He, as we may have mentioned on a previous podcast, led the charge for kind of deciding if CCA should sell the building. He ran the CCA building committee, and our building did sell. If you read the November Hot Irons, there's a whole feature on where we were, where we've been the last 40 years, and where we're going. But Steve did a great job, I know, at leading that committee and making that hard decision. I got to spend a little time with Steve's family. We went down and took his picture for the magazine. He has all granddaughters, which was fun. But you also have two daughters. And I think a lot of life has happened for the Toso family, even since 2 years in as president.
Yeah, we got a little grandson along that came along, and we're enjoying him now. Weston.
It's a great name.
Sounds like a familiar name to the Roberti family. Isn't that right, Weston Roberti?
I heard that's who he's named after, but that could be a rumor.
Could be.
Yeah, you had a lot of big changes. Your wife's now a supervisor. You got a grandson. You got another son-in-law.
And a granddaughter on the way.
And a granddaughter on the way. We appreciate all the time you spent on the road, but I know you're looking forward to getting back to them and being home and in Hilmar a little bit more in Hornitos. Speaking of Hilmar, you do have another life as well as an ag appraiser. So we wanted to touch a little bit on that just to kind of give some people a look at what's going on in the state as far as what you're seeing. You travel a lot. We were just talking about you were up in Klamath a few weeks ago. What are you seeing as far as water availability? And I know it probably varies throughout the state.
Well, the availability is a big question. And I guess from looking at it as an appraiser in farm properties, what we do, water is just, I guess it's just been amplified even more. It's always, of course, been important. But we're really, with the onset of Sigma, we're several years into it now. It was passed in 2014, and we're really just starting to see some of the effects. There's not a lot of documentation yet as to, you know, being able to say, yeah, this is the reason why this property sold for that. It's become very obvious that the more sources of water on a ranch are preferable. I think you're going to see properties that maybe they call them white zone properties that are maybe just operating off of wells as opposed to some surface water supplies. I think we're going to start seeing more noticeable changes in values from properties that say have multiple sources of irrigation water versus properties that maybe only have one source. And then when you do have one source, whether it's, let's say it's wells or an irrigation district, the reliability of that district is going to become important as well. So depending upon where you're at in California, those water resources are going to be very important. They're going to loom large, and it's not going to get easier as time goes on, but people are going to have to figure out how they're going to manage with limited water resources.
Coming on the third year of La Nina probably just kind of amplified that. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really been, well, I'm not telling anyone anything that they don't know.
Sure.
It's been difficult. And you're right. It's really just kind of made it, you know, like a neon sign, you know, water, water, water. And the Mark Twain saying about whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting is never, I mean, it really is true right now. We're just going to have to manage the situation with this legislation is going to bear down hard on some areas of the state. So we need to be prepared for that. You may see areas that, you know, have transitioned from one use to another because of water availability in the past, maybe going back to more less intensive uses, let's say, you know, properties that maybe transitioned to permanent crops, maybe going back to cattle pasture, depending upon water availability. We don't know, but we do see signs of it. I've worked in the South Valley a little bit this year, and I've seen some really distinct differences between property values from one irrigation district to the next. That's a red flag. I don't care where you're at in California. You've heard of the West Side Westlands Water District. That's kind of a bellwether as to you've got some tremendous soils with capabilities to farm, but yet you've got water restrictions out there, and it's impacted the values out there. And that's been going on for quite a while. So, but it's indicative of what we're going to be into as a whole, I think, when you start looking into the future as far as California farming goes.
I think what you're saying is really depends on the district.
Depends on where you're at, the district. There's a lot of things that are going to get baked into this cake that will, you know, will set a pattern as to how we're valuing properties in different parts of the state.
Yeah, as long as you've been doing appraisals, have you seen most of this change? Has it been pretty consistent up until a certain point, and now it's kind of just changing quickly?
Well,
or has it been coming on like this?
Well, it's kind of been coming on, and we've gone through cycles, and a lot of it's had to do with economic cycles. You know, like I mentioned when we first started talking, we haven't really seen any hard data yet to say this is because of Sigma or this is because of water. It's starting to kind of rear its head. I think within the next couple of years, and as we move through whether or not GSAs have achieved their sustainability goals, or if the state has had to come in and say, hey, you guys are going to have to cut back your water, those are going to be the things that are really going to start telling the tale. Once somebody gets clipped pretty hard for their water and it affects that value, I think that's going to start the dominoes.
So across the state, we were talking about how much it varies just before we started recording. But the value of ag land obviously varies.
Oh, sure.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Is that mainly tied to water?
Well, it's tied to a lot of things. So when you appraise a property, you're looking at a lot of different elements having to do with that property. Elevation, topography, water availability, soils, location, all those types of things. So you can be up in the northeast part of the state, and there's one value there for irrigated pasture, and then come down here into the Central Valley and it can be completely different. Same thing with being in the north or south part of the Central Valley, for example. We've got something like 450 different crops that we grow in California with a 40 to $60 billion farm gate before any multipliers. And that changes, you know, it can change dramatically based upon commodity prices, water, all those types of things. So, you know, we're so diverse. When I go to continuing education classes and that type of thing, and I talk to people that are in the Midwest, and basically it's corn, beans, hogs and cattle. And then they try to, you know, fathom what we do in California with like Salinas Valley, let's say, versus Alturas, or San Diego County versus Fresno County, those types of things. It's hard for them to fathom what we do and how vast and how just awesome what we do is and how much we can produce with what we have. As time goes by, just circling back to the water thing, the water's going to rule, and it's going to affect us. You may see some people do really well and some people not so well. This thing's got to shake out. that's where the rubber's going to hit the road, and where certain areas we may see shifts in locations and that type of thing, you know, just because water might be doing, you know, the availability and the cost are better in a certain place versus, you know, another place. You see a lot of permanent plantings being attempted, for example, in the Delta. Well, there's water there. There's a lot more water there, but there's higher water tables and there's things that affect the ability to grow crops there versus, say, on that west side where there's not so much water. So that's a lot of the different variables that come into play to make a market.
Yeah, obviously we don't have a crystal ball, but if Tony Toso had a crystal ball or could guess, when do you think this will all shake out? When do you think like we'll start seeing really big changes?
Well, we're right there. The birthing pains are starting. Gotcha. And I would say probably within the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 is when we're really going to start seeing data show up that we can hang our hat on. As appraisers, when you're looking at property and property values, you don't get the luxury of being to try and say, you know, it's worth 20% more, 10% more, that type of thing. We got to go with the facts and something that you can hang your hat on. And right now it's not quite there, but when you look at value ranges and how those play into the market, you're being very cognizant of it. Just for an example on water analyses, yeah, when we do an analysis on water in a report, they used to be pretty brief. You know, you were in Modesto Irrigation District or Turlock Irrigation District, wherever you happen to be, and you'd talk about cost of water and this and that. And now you're talking maybe a couple of pages of analysis at a minimum on water and water rights and where they're at. You get over on the east side in Mono County or the Intermountain type ranges over there where water's adjudicated in your neck of the woods, that type of thing. It's really critical. Spend a lot of time doing research, verifying water rights and that type of thing, as opposed to say a district like Turlock or Modesto or Fresno, Chowchilla, that type of thing. It's different. And I guess that's part of the wonderment, I guess, of California, but it's going to get impacted. We get enough regulation, and water is just like a beacon. It's like the moth to the flame. Come and get me for the, you know, we want more regulation, which of course we don't, but it's going to be the biggest impact on property values in the future. It's without a doubt been a big concern.
Sure.
Always has been. That's why they Central Valley Project and set up irrigation. We're basically a desert, and they perfected it with using runoff, snowpack, that type of thing. With the lack of storage, the lack of infrastructure that's basically based on a lot less population from the 1970s and basically ignoring that, our state needs, and not just our state, but our state leadership needs to wake up and understand that we have close to, if not past, 40 million people now. Those people use water at home as well as for farming, and the desire to use it in for environmental purposes, those types of things. So we really need to wake up and say, hey, how are we going to keep this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to facilitate and move water around? And I think we've been remiss at leadership levels in the state, and that needs to be seriously addressed.
I want to end on a positive note. So let's talk about convention.
All right.
I think we have a lot of good things coming. If you're listening now, it's just a few days away. So hopefully you're registered. If not, it's not too late. Just come on up to Reno. The good news and the bad news is, the good news is it looks like there could be some snow coming to the Sierra. Bad news is right beyond 80 traveling with the snow. But I do think we have some good things lined up for convention. What are you looking forward to about convention, Tony, and what we have planned?
Obviously, we've got some great speakers for those who are interested in getting better informed. Myself, it's finishing up what we started, getting down to the policy. I don't think we have a lot of heavy lifting to do. I think a lot of that's been done. A big thanks to staff. Big thanks to our member leaders, guys like Anthony and Seth and Clayton and all the great group that we have leading our committees. They've worked very hard. So we've got most of what we need to take care of as far as business is ready to go. But it's really important to see you at convention and to hear your voice. So if you can get up there, it means a lot to your association leadership to get input, to hear from you, to understand what your issues, your problems are. It's pretty important so that those people can keep working on your behalf. So all the input we can get, we appreciate. And probably the biggest and best is getting to see everybody and to, once again, you know, it's kind of like the family reunion once a year up there. So get to see everybody and see how everybody's fared for the year and visit for a while and share a few meals and get to talk and visit. So that's, these people are great. So it's a lot of fun for me to see everybody and I enjoy that. So that's probably my favorite part.
Obviously we only meet like this once a year where it's hundreds of people. We have other events and lots of calls throughout the year, but for me, it's one of the best ways. I love having it at the end of the year because I feel like it gives me something. I connect with people, meet new people, hear new ideas, concerns. And that really does carry me through most of the year thinking, okay, so-and-so had this idea, so-and-so had this concern, let's work on that. Hope to see many of you there. Tony, it's personally just, I've had so much fun working with you. It's been a pleasure always taking the media requests we get. Even when I threw you under the boat on the NBC Nightly News and called about drought and wanted to do an interview and it ended up raining at your place and then you got questioned on the Packers, you still took the media calls after that. So thanks for always being available and just a great guy to work with, and we'll continue to work with you and look forward to it.
Well, thank you, Katie, and thanks for what you've been doing for this association, and you've done a great job with this podcast and so has Ryan. It's been great to watch this bloom and blossom and have another venue to get information out to our members. So congratulations and thank you for a great job you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, I'll be the first to admit I was not excited about doing the podcast. I thought we don't need that. No one's going to listen. But I've been pleasantly surprised about how it's gone. And now it's one of my favorite parts of my job. So thank you for inspiring me to do it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Your office is probably wondering where you've been. But thanks again for letting me bug you all these times. And we'll look forward to seeing you in just a few days.
Never a problem. Thanks.